General Home Reel 3. You were saying that despite the training effort, you didn't produce a single cohesive unit.
Well, it was because we kept on having to send drafts, I think almost exclusively, to the Middle East during, well, right up to the end of 43, probably.
Were you tempted at any time to try and get on a draft and go out to the Middle East?
Well, not when I was adjutant. I did adjutant from 1941 to 1943. We were still at that time in the 47th London Division, and it was becoming increasingly obvious that this was a home defence division and was unlikely to be involved in the operations in Europe in 1944. And I think, towards the end of 1943, I think there were several of us who thought, well, here we are, we've been in England now for a long time, we're never going to get out of England. And I think some of us did think, well, really, I think it's time we volunteered to go somewhere else. But by the end of 43, and it was interesting this, there were three regular battalions, one of which was ours, 2nd Essex. There was the 2nd Gloucesters, and there was the 2nd South Wales Borderers, and we were all in formations destined to remain in England. And somebody, somewhere, thought, we can't leave these three regular battalions kicking their heels for the rest of the war. So we were all put together in one brigade, 56th Brigade, and we were put under 50 Div, who were one of the assault divisions in Normandy, because 50 Div wanted an extra brigade, i.e. a 4th Brigade, for the landing operations, because they had two assault brigades and they wanted two follow-up brigades. And that is suddenly, when we were just thinking we're going to be here the whole of the war, this happened. And then we thought, well, this is okay.
Do you remember how you discovered that that was going to be your role?
I can't remember who told us, but I know quite soon, in 1943, we were suddenly sent down south to Clacton and to for our new role. And I think the 56th Brigade formed in the East Essex area, and then all our sights were set on the landing and the operations were going to take place in Normandy. And we had about 6 months to sort of
train up.
Mm. And I think we'd stopped sending drafts by that time overseas, once we were told.
Was the brigade all assembled then around Clacton?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think we remembered much about... I don't remember much about the Gloucesters and South Wales Borderers prior to the invasion. But, of course, when we were all in the same brigade in operations, we saw a great deal of them.
Mm. What sort of training did you do for the invasion of Northwest Europe?
Well, on tactical training, we did normal tactical training for operations countrywide, including, I can remember, doing house clearing and all this. And
do you remember where you did that?
Well, I don't remember quite how long we were down in Clacton, but we were eventually sent down to the New Forest area, and I suppose we did it down there. And then in about April, we were sent up as a battalion to Scotland, to Inverary, where I think we did a fortnight's training on amphibious operations for the landing. And we practiced in landing craft and landing on the beaches and so on. We had a fortnight specialist training.
Was that on a battalion scale or on a larger scale?
Yeah, I think battalion, battalion scale. And I imagine each battalion was put through that in turn.
Were you doing dry landings or wet landings or both?
Both, I think, both. Yeah.
When you did one of these landings, was it followed up by an advanced contact in land?
Or not much, because this was a specialist training centre dealing with the landing operation. Yes.
Do you remember having training in conjunction with other arms, such as the armoured?
I don't remember much with armour. I think I don't remember live firing training when we were down in the south of England. But we certainly did battalion exercises with gunner officers. And we did an amphibious exercise off the coast of Christchurch, Bournemouth, somewhere there once when... I can remember that vividly because there was an accident there and we lost the company commander and about five blokes drowned on that particular exercise.
Do you know how that accident
happened? No, I don't. It was a fellow called Norman Ayres who was a company commander of D Company, I think, and I don't know what happened. I suppose their landing craft capsized or something. And they were in full kit, you see.
Yes. Quite often landing craft could run aground on sandbars offshore.
Indeed,
That was always a risk.
Yeah.
Was that a live-firing exercise?
But it must have been a landing exercise.
Yes.
Yes.
While you were doing this training for amphibious assault, do you remember if you had any idea, personally, where it was likely to take place?
No, we hadn't been briefed. And I don't think we were... eventually, we were put in camps from which there was no escape, you know.
Sealed camps. Yes.
And I think it was only when that was, about a week before, was it? D-Day, that we were briefed. At our level, anyway, because I was a company commander by that time.
Ah, which company had you taken?
I had A Company. Mm.
Right. So you were adjutant for 2 years, and then...
And I commanded A Company.
A Company.
Oh, no, I went to Support Company first. Support Company.
What did Support Company have in it?
Support Company had a carrier platoon, a mortar platoon, a pioneer platoon. I don't know if anybody else was the one other platoon, I can't remember.
One time they'd have had the Vickers guns.
Curiously enough, we didn't have Vickers guns, but when I commanded the battalion in about 1960, we had Vickers guns.
You got them back?
Yeah.
How many mortars did you have at that time?
Six,
then?
I think.
Up to six.
Yeah. Then we had two originally. Then they had four. After my time as a mortar officer. And then when we landed, we had six mortars.
And what about carriers? How many of them?
Ten, I think. Mm. I think we had three sections of three, plus the platoon commander's carrier.
What was the role of the carrier platoon?
Well, it was meant to be reconnaissance and... carrying ammunition and stores over bullet-swept ground. I think that was the original thing we were told about carriers. Mm. But they weren't very effective. I mean, the armour was not, wouldn't keep anything out, really, except a rifle bullet. Mm. And I think they were useful in transportation of stores and people.
Were they good for reconnaissance work? Or?
Marginally, I think. Mm. Marginally. Yeah. Not really. Certainly not in Normandy, where, of course, the country was so close, they really couldn't be used at all.
You need to go on foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Were you still commanding Support Company when you landed? Or
no,
you
I gave up support. It was interesting. I remember I was a major then, temporary major. Mm. I forget how many majors there were in the battalion, perhaps the second in command and four others. And either the brigadier or the divisional commander sent out an edict in about the spring of 1944, to say that a support company was not a company as an entity in operations. So it was no good putting a major in command of a support company. Support company should be commanded quite adequately by a captain, and the majors were there to command rifle companies. And this was an order, I remember, because I remember the CO telling me. He said, you've got to be moved from support company because... my boss has told me you can't go on the support company, so you go to A Company. Mm. And that was in about January or February 1944.
Mm. Was A Company up to strength?
Yeah. About 110, 115 people.
Including officers, enough platoon commanders.
We had five officers, three platoon commanders, second in command, and a company commander.
That's a full house.
Yeah.
What sort of condition were the men in, mentally, physically?
Oh, fine. I think, it was all right. They were quite excited, I think. Yeah.
Going to do something.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm. So you've done battalion exercises for landings at the Brewery and then Christchurch. Yep. Was the Christchurch, was that battalion training? Or
I think so. I think it was a battalion exercise. Might have been a brigade one where this fellow I was talking about got drowned, drowned. Might have been. Mm. Brigade exercise.
Into the sealed camps.
Yes.
How were the briefings done?
I can remember the brigadier coming to talk to us. Ah. assembled the whole battalion, and the brigadier came and talked to us. He didn't go into the plans, of course, detailed plans, but I can remember he gave a very good talk to the whole battalion about what we were going into and why. And
what did he say?
Oh, I don't know, I can't remember, but I imagine he all, you know, gelled us up.
It was a pep talk.
Yeah, pep talk, absolutely.
And when you did get round to being briefed on the plan, you know, how was that done? Was it?
That was done at the CSO group.
Yeah.
And we were told, and then I think there was a sort of timetable about when we could tell the platoon commanders and when the platoon, you know, when it could eventually filter down.
Yeah.
And I should probably think that the final briefing of the soldiers took place about 48 hours before D-Day.
Was it done from maps or from models or air photographs?
Maps. Yeah. Though later in the Normandy campaign, we discarded our maps. We had to bring them back again when we started moving up eastwards. And we lived on gridded air photographs. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant things.
Well, I think the map makers weren't able to keep up with the pace of the advance at that stage.
Well, even in Normandy, we had these gridded air photographs. Mm. But it showed every hedge and everything else, and they were brilliant things.
Was it easy to read them, or did you have to develop a new skill to...
The air photographs are very easy to read, very. Mm. Yeah.
What happened then as the day of invasion approached?
Well, we were told to embark at Southampton. And we did embark, and then D-Day was postponed for 24 hours. But we stayed on the landing craft. We were let off the next day, 5th of June, I suppose it was. And I can remember we had to sort of march the boats round Southampton and a bit of exercise and get off the boat.
Blow away the cobwebs.
That's right. And then back on the boat. Mm-hmm. And I think we set sail before midnight on the 5th of June.
Landing craft? Were you on assault craft?
No, we were on a thing called an LCI, Landing Craft Infantry. Okay. Took 200 blokes, 180 to 200 blokes.
That's about half a battalion then, isn't it?
Well, no, less than that. We had a company. I had my whole company on it, which is, say, 115, 120 blokes.
Yes.
Plus, I can't remember whether it was half another company. I suspect it was administrative or support company people. And our craft was a Canadian. It was a Canadian craft. And we set off and travelled all through the night. And as the dawn broke, I think we were getting near the Normandy coast. We were a follow-up brigade.
What could you see then? What was the view?
Masses of shipping of every kind. And the shoreline. And we were kept hanging about a long time because the beach we were expected to land on hadn't been captured in the time it was hoped to capture it. And we were anchored off the shore for some time.
How far out were you?
I don't know, kind of a few, quarter of a mile, half a mile, I don't know.
What were sea conditions like?
Well, on the way over they were very rough and we were all seasick, I think. I suspect everybody on the craft was seasick at some time. So we were anxious to get on shore because we'd felt so awful on the way over. But we had to land on another beach. We'd studied all these things, exactly where we were going to land, and we then couldn't land on that beach.
Could you recognise the panorama then?
I think where we were standing offshore, I suppose we thought we could.
Then you're offshore from Le Hamel, as now that area.
Yeah.
You were following up 231 Brigade, weren't you?
Was it behind 231?
Yeah.
I forget.
I think,
anyway, we had eventually to be diverted to some part of the beach which had been cleared. We didn't land as planned.
Mm.
We were diverted to this, which was fine for us, of course, because there was no opposition on the beach, already being cleared by the assault brigades. But it delayed us, and I think we were about 4 hours late.
How did you actually get ashore in the end? Did the landing craft run up onto the beach?
No, refused to do so.
Refused to do so?
Yes, he said, when we were in about 4 foot of water, he said, I'm not going any further in, there are a lot of mines there, so off you get. So we got off into the water, up to here.
Chest height.
And we had our kit, our full kit, and we were carrying bicycles.
Did you know?
Yes. Had you heard of these?
These folding bicycles.
Yes. They were brilliant things.
Yeah,
I mean, very light.
Yeah.
a beautiful bit of machinery. But we took these and we carried them ashore. And basically we dumped them.
You didn't use them?
No, not that I can remember.
Because I think in many battalions there was the idea that the battalion should form something called a forward body, which would be more mobile than the rest and would go ahead to reconnoitre and seize key points on the route in
there. That's right, that's
and
right.
Some of the troops should be on these bicycles.
That's right.
And carriers and bicyclists.
As far as I remember, we dumped them all in our assembly area. I don't think we ever used them.
Where was the assembly area? Was that immediately inland?
Yes, I don't know how far inland, but half a mile, mile. Perhaps.
And did you go to the planned assembly area, having landed on a different part of the beach, or
I think we might have. I have a feeling we did, because our objective was to capture Bayeux.
Yes.
And the fact that we had landed a bit
askew
didn't alter where we had to form up. I think we landed in the original assembly area. But we were meant to capture Bayeux on D-Day. But because we were 4 hours late, we only got to the outskirts of Bayeux within about half a mile or a mile when it became dark, and the CO decided to wait until the following day.
Was your movement inland opposed?
Snipers only, really. And we had a squadron of Sherman tanks, the Sherwood Rangers, in support of the battalion. And I was the leading company, and I remember so well to this day. The Sherman squadron commander, we met up in the assembly. I'd never seen him before. And we got our orders to go. And the first thing he said to me was, "Would you like me to lead the advance?" So I said, "That would be very kind." So the tanks led the advance. And I could remember them more than us, dealing with the snipers. I can remember them firing off thousands of rounds of ammunition in trees.
Machine gun rounds.
Yes, up at the trees, and eventually you saw a body fall down out of a tree.
What sort of formation were your chaps in when you were following up?
Well, we were in advance to contact, so we had a platoon. I think we had a platoon in front. And then we had the company attack headquarters. And then the other two platoons behind. And we were on a narrow front. I mean, we were going down astride the road towards Bayeux.
How were the forward platoon laid out then? Were they in file?
In file, yes. Single file.
Opposite side of the road.
Yes, exactly.
Staggered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and well dispersed. Yeah.
What about your TAC headquarters? Who was in your TAC headquarters?
Well, that would have been me and my runner and my signallers.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was about it. Yeah,
about four of you?
Yeah, about four. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the company corps was further back under the company second in command.
And you were on foot?
Yeah.
What about the two platoons that were following on behind
you? I think they were on the road still. Yeah. I don't think, because there was no real opposition, we didn't deploy through the fields at that stage.
Were they in column?
Same. I mean, dispersed.
Staggered pile of sections.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How did your comms work? Did the wireless sets function?
Not very well. We had 18 sets, which was the platoon of the company headquarters. We had a vehicle-borne set, which was back to the battalion, the sort of...
But that was back, further back, presumably.
Yes, I think we had a vehicle-borne set. Although, when on foot, our 18 set, I think, communicated with the town headquarters. And the platoons had a thing called a 38 set. The sections, each section had a 38 set, I think. But they were pretty unreliable, although you managed. You know. And the 18 set was pretty heavy to carry for the signaller on his back. Pretty heavy.
And the batteries to go with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
How far ahead of you were the tanks? The Sherwood Rangers. And how were they laid out?
They were off the road. There might have been one tank on the road, right. But a lot of them were...
Were they in a sort of Arrowhead or right abreast?
I should think. Arrowhead or something like that. Mm. And they were jolly good. And they... Well, we really had, as I say, except for snipers, because the beaches had been breached. And I think the German infantry were in a state of confusion inland. We thought that Bayeux was defended because we were shot at when we got near Bayeux.
Small arms fire?
Yeah, small arms. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, as it was getting dark, the CO decided to wait. And I think we dug ourselves in and we spent the night there. And on we went again the next morning. by which time whatever had been in Bayeux had pretty well evaporated. I think there were a few snipers
again. They'd withdrawn that. Yes. During that advance, when you were advancing to contact, must have been the first time in action for some of your soldiers.
Indeed.
How did they hold up?
Well, all right, because they really hadn't got any opposition, you see. They weren't really being shot at.
No enemy artillery or mortar coming down?
No, not that I remember. There were some mines about.
Yes.
And the battalion Siglos, I remember. He was in a carrier, that's right. And I think he was in the carrier. And the carrier went over a mine and was blown up. And he was wounded badly. And so he was really, I was going to say, our only casualty on D-Day. I think maybe he was. There might have been one or two others.
Had your chaps been trained to spot and lift mines?
Yes.
Have they done
to a point.
Pioneering?
The pioneer platoon, of course, had. They were the mine blokes. Mm. But I think, yes, we had. We had done anti-mine training. Mm. Yes.
Were there any Royal Engineers about who might have been able to support you in that?
Well, I think there were, but I don't remember seeing it. No.
From your position in the, you know, virtually effectively the middle of your company, looking forward and back to the sides and so on, could you see any other friendly troops?
I don't remember. I don't think so. No. Although the Gloucesters and Southmouth Borderers were advancing.
Yes.
Whether it was either side or... But we were the ones to go to Bayeux.
Yeah. So you were out on your own, as far as you could tell.
Yeah.
With fairly short lines of sight.
Yes.
In the terrain.
Yes. Yeah. Although the country north of Bayeux is not as thick as the country a bit further south.
Indeed.
In Normandy.
Yes. Could you see the spires of the cathedral on the horizon?
I think we must have. But you see, Bayeux was not damaged, was not fought for.
No. I mean, it is difficult to avoid seeing the spires
of
the cathedral.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But the following day, when we and the Sherwood Rangers, we had captured the town, we didn't spend any time there. We were made to move on.
Did you go through the town itself, or
I think
the side?
Rather more round the outskirts. To the east,
I think
the east of Bayeux. Yes.
When you dug in overnight, I mean, what sort of positions did you dig for your company?
Well, you dug slit trenches, that was all.
One man or two man?
Two, I think.
Two men. Slit trenches.
Yeah. And I think not very deep that first night, because we'd only started digging when it was dark. Mm. And we knew we had to move on again. I think it was just a bit more than the shell scrape.
Yes.
But not a proper 6-foot slit trench.
Was there any enemy activity during the night?
That night, no. Except from Bayeux, we had been shot at.
Yes. Did you have?
But not very seriously.
Not seriously. Did you have patrols out?
I think. No, can't remember that first night.
Did you have a good night's sleep?
I think so, because I don't think we'd got much sleep the night before.
No.
In the rough sea.
When you were being sick.
Yes.
What did you have? Did you have a slit trench of your own?
I used to have it with my signaller, I think, always. Well, you had to be with your wireless sets. I think we and the signallers,
It sounds as though you had a reasonably comfortable first night.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
What about feeding?
Well, we had 24-hour ration packs, I think. And, you know, I can't really remember. I think after that, we had a mixture of, would they be compo rations, which were the 14-man... And some fresh rations as well, I think. I think they gave us fresh rations whenever they could.
Supplementary.
Yes.
I dare say the soldiers acquired certain foodstuffs themselves.
Absolutely. And later on, at one stage in the campaign, we were absolutely next door to the American army. We were on the right of the British line.
Yes.
And, of course, the exchanges of food that went on between the Americans and ourselves was tremendous.
What about the French population? Did you see anything of them as you were moving?
Well, we did in Bayeux,
yes.
And they were all frightfully enthusiastic, and Calvados came out.
Did it?
Oh, indeed it did, yes. Yeah. And but we weren't there long, I'm afraid.
Mm. So you're through Bayeux, and then you're heading out?
South, I suppose, south. Wasn't it? Or south-east?
South-east, south-west?
I would have thought south-east. Mm. The real objective at that time was Tilly, Chaussurel. And I suspect that, I have a feeling that's a bit southeast of Bayeux.
South-southeast.
South-southeast.
Yes.
But And we had several days. Now, D-Day was the 6th of June. We had our first big battle on the 10th, I think.
Oh. What happened then? You got south of Bayeux on the 7th, and did you have any contact with the enemy?
Yeah, well, again, advancing south? Only skirmishes, really. And still snipers and that sort of thing for the next 3 days. Mm. And then, it was on a Sunday, and I think it was the 10th of June, the tanks, and I don't know if it must have been the Sherwood Rangers still, I'm not sure, were advancing, not really with us, but forward of us. They were getting as far forward as they could, and they'd been held up near a village called Verrier, with some orchard-type woods all around it.
And is that the Verrier, which is a bit to the west of Tilly?
Yes.
North and west of Tilly.
Yes. And we were told to capture the woods, or the orchard. There were orchards, weren't they? I think it was west of Verrier. And on the morning of Sunday, we were summoned to a CSO group and told we'd got to do a battalion attack. I think 6 o'clock in the evening was HR. So we had all day to repair. I can remember we went back a bit to get a view of us all from the high ground, which was absolutely hopeless because all you would see were the tops of trees and things. But we had plenty of time to prepare, and we formed up. We were going to do a battalion attack, two companies up. I think I was on the left, and C Company, Paris's company, I think, were on the right.
Right.
And we had to attack over about 1,500 yards, mostly of cornfields. It wasn't really the proper Normandy bocage. There was this
the open fields.
Fairly open, but it was standing corn.
How high was it?
Well, I mean, you could see blokes when they were upright. You could see the top of them, but once they got wounded and fell down, you couldn't see them because they were in the corn. And we did this attack, and something went wrong with the whole operation. Pat Barris must have talked about this. And because, although we had artillery fire, the tanks, which were meant to support us, never appeared.
They didn't turn
no,
up?
No, didn't turn up at all.
Were they your usual
I'm afraid I can't quite remember that.
No.
But and this was our first major attack, so it was quite a challenge. And we started off.
How were your company laid out?
Two platoons up.
And one back,
yeah. And all in extended order.
Skirmish line.
Two sections up, and the six, you know. And
yes.
Yeah.
And it was like a classic pattern.
It was a great sight,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
Anyway, off we went, and we covered halfway, and nothing had happened. And then we went on a bit, another few hundred yards, and we thought, well, perhaps the enemy had pushed off, because they'd done that all the time in the last 4 days. Yeah. And then when we were about 500 yards from the front of the orchards, which was the front of our objective, there was all hell there. There was tremendous artillery, tank shells and explosions. And I suppose it was quite scary. But the adrenaline was up. This was our first attack, who knows? So on we went, and we lost a few blokes on the way.
What sort of pace were you moving at? Were you walking
pace? A slow walking pace.
Yeah,
slow walking pace. Mm. And eventually we got to the front of the woods. And then our far end of our objective was a few hundred yards further on.
The other end of the orchard area?
Yes. Mm. Although there was no end of the orchard area, really. I mean,
yes.
we were in the bocage by
yes.
then. And the platoons did jolly well, and they flushed out a few blokes, and this, that, and the other. But I don't think the Germans had much infantry at that time. And the ones that were there, as we got to the orchards, really pulled back. I don't think there were enough of them.
Were they pulling back by leapfrogging through, or
I don't know.
Tactical way?
But as we got up to them,
yes.
I mean, there was no sort of barrier.